back to the work a little bit now. After, what was the name of that place again? The rubber place?
Oh, Canfield. H.A. Canfield.
Yeah, after they moved to Virginia.
After they moved to Virginia, then I got a job in Outlet, dress shop. It was a dress shop down on Fairfield in Maine. I got a job at Outlet. And from Outlet, I worked at Outlet, and then the manager at Outlet, he and I was very close. So he left Outlet and he went to Levitt's. So he got me a job at Levitt's.
Okay, and Levitt's was right down there.
Levitt was
right
on the corner of Maine and Fairfield. And he got me a job at the men's furnishing. And I was the first black guy in the men's furnishing in Levitt's. And I worked in Levitt's. I worked in Levitt's about 5 or 6 years. I guess, no, but yes, near about 5 years I worked in Levitt's.
And when would this be? From like the mid-50s?
It was the late 50s into the early 60s. Yes, yes.
And by men's furnishings, you worked in the men's department as a salesman?
Yes, as a salesman. Men's shirts, men's socks, underwear. I worked in the men's department in the men's furnishing in haberdashery.
And what was work like there? Did you have benefits?
There were no benefits. There was no union. There was just a job. Yeah. And that was it. I didn't recall a union of benefits until I started working. It was quite a few years later I became into becoming with the union. Like I said, I left Levitt's to go work for Wonder Bread.
Okay.
I worked for Wonder Bread. I was the first black route salesman for Wonder Bread.
Okay, and they were located?
They were located on Wells Street, Housatonic and Wells.
Yeah, just sort of on the east side.
It's on north, north end, like the north end, like the north end, yes. Yeah. That's on Housatonic and Wells Street. I worked for Wonder Bread about 4 years. Came into a lot of segregation. And when I worked for Wonder Bread, and I was a route salesman.
By route salesman, what does that mean?
I just sell the bread, stores, and cupcakes, and I just sell cupcakes and stuff, and donuts, the Hostess cake, and all that. And I experienced in some of the stores that I had to go into, and I would deliver my product, and a lot of store owners. I work for Wonder Bread, you got Sunbeam, you got Drake Cakes. We were all going to the store at the same time. And if my bill was like $12.50, he would take it and take those guys, and he would pay them, give them dollar bills, and he would give them like whatever amount of $12.50 would pay him. Me, he would take it and take my balance. He would take it and count me pennies. He would give me $12.50 with the pennies. I experienced that kind of segregation.
And the other people from the other company, the other generally white, and they would get the payment in dollar bills.
In dollar bills. And mine, he would stand there and count me out $12 with the pennies. And if I give him $8 with the goods, he would count me out $8 with the pennies.
And this happened in a lot of cases? Or?
Well, I ran into a lot of problems where I would go into a store and ask to use the bathroom, and they tell me the bathroom is broke. And I would see white people go into the bathroom and use the bathroom, and they would tell me it's out of order. Here in Bridgeport.
And what period of time?
Even with the company, when I first started, they had to go on my truck. You're responsible for your load on your truck. Mm-hmm. Responsible for every penny on your truck. They had to go on my truck at night and steal stuff off my truck. Like 1 week, I would be short of $35. And I know that I'm a mathematician and count as good as anybody in the company. They would steal stuff off my truck at night. Then that went on for about a year until one guy came over and he felt sorry for me and he told me what to do, to lock my doors, and that way they won't be able to get on my truck. And my truck would be in the barn, in the garage, and I'm the only one with the locked truck. Everybody's truck is open. And this is what they, this is their way of trying to get me to quit. And I wouldn't dare quit. And I had the longest route in the bakery. The average guy in the bakery would have 41 stops, 39 stops. I had 80 stops.
So twice what?
Twice as much as they had. And I would get up in the morning at 5:30 and go in the bakery and go on my route at 6 o'clock, and I would come home at 7 o'clock at night, 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. And a majority of those drivers would be in and out by 2:30, 3 o'clock. I had twice as many stops, but that didn't stop me. I was determined that I'm capable with that job, and I can do the job. And the saddest thing, when I left and quit the bakery, after they hired four more minorities, and my route that I had to deliver my product, they put four trucks on that route. The route that I had, they put four trucks on that route.
That's the route you had been doing by yourself.
The route that I had been doing by myself.
And what was the pay like there? I mean, were you
the
making...
The pay was good. In those days, it was good. Because when school is open, they buy cakes and bread to put in the kids. You make sandwiches for the kids when school is open.
Yeah.
In the summertime, when school is closed, the pay was not hardly nothing. The pay scale went down. So this... In the summertime, you suffer quite a bit, but when school is open, you made a good dollar.
Okay, so, you weren't making an hourly wage; you were paid by the basis of how much was sold.
Yes, you were getting paid bonus. You're getting a bonus on what you sold, and you had to learn how to maneuver and make sure that you put the right product in the right places. If a store's not open on Saturday and Sunday, you don't put a heavy quantity in that store. If a store is open Saturday and Sunday, this is where you put the heavy quantity at. Because if that store is open Saturday and Sunday, they always got people in and out the store. And they're always going in on Sunday to buy the bread and the cake for the kids to go to school with, fix their lunch with. So you have to learn this. It's something nobody teach you. No, nobody taught you stuff like this. You have to learn it on your own. And this is what it took me about a couple of weeks to find this out. Nobody would tell you. And they wouldn't tell you anything. They wouldn't tell you anything because they didn't want me there in the first place.
I see.
Because as sad as it seemed, before I was hired for that job, they had to, all the white guys had to come together and decide whether they want me to work or not. As sad as it seemed in the state of Connecticut. I would see him doing something like that down the southern state.
Yeah.
But as sad as it seems in the state of Connecticut.
This was again in the early 60s?
This was early in the early 60s.
Yeah. And how long were you there?
I was there 4 years. And then I, after they hired a couple more minorities, and then I got out, I taught them what I had, I told them what I had experienced, and I told them what to look for, and how to keep their nose, how to keep the record clean. The main thing is, you got to work. You got to have a good work record, and a good driving record. Without a good work record and a good driving record, then they can lay you off. They want to get rid of you. But if you come to work and have a good work record and a good driving record, and then I taught them how to move this stuff around, different stores are open on the weekends, and how you can make money. But nobody would teach you this. Nobody taught you this. You have to learn on your own because they didn't want me there in the first place.
So you were able to pass some of that on?
I was able to pass that on to some of the other minority drivers.